want to first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for us. Before we go further in the service with our reading text, I'd like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that needs to be said or done. If not, turn with me, if you don't mind, to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. The 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. And I want to make a little mention before we get started. And I hope and pray, as long as the Lord will allow us to be here at Friendship, I hope that you'll understand one thing, that is that I don't consider myself to be a traditional preacher. I know there's some preachers out there, they try to get a sermon fixed up for a holiday occasion that's going on, and but I believe that you need to follow the Spirit of God. I believe He knows what's right and what's needed. And the Lord gave us this little thought, and it might come in into the Christmas season, although it is about Christ, is it not? Amen. And I tell you, the Lord gave me this little thought about two weeks ago, heading home from here, and I've struggled with it ever since. Matter of fact, I had to exit Sunday school a little bit just to go to my car and pray, because I just feel so weak this morning, and I just ask that you would just keep us in your prayers. But if you go with us to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, we're going to start off with the 38th verse, and it says, "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I want to stop right there for a few moments of time. And the thought that the Lord has placed on our hearts for this morning: the man on the cross said, I can go. The man on the cross said, I can go. I want to, first of all, say this, that the reason why we have this Christmas season is about Jesus Christ, and nothing more and nothing less. We had a tradition growing up in my family that on Christmas Eve we would just get around and read about the birth of Christ. And thankfully I get to continue that tradition with my wife this year. And you know, it's something that's special, because Christmas isn't about these presents or gifts that we just receive from people, but it's about Jesus. And matter of fact, I believe that not only should Christmas time be about Jesus, but for those of us who are saved by the grace of God, every single day should be about Jesus. Because as he said in the book of John, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's about Jesus. And I'll say this. You know, we read about the crucifixion and what had happened, and it breaks my heart sometimes. Well, it doesn't really break my heart. It causes me to rejoice sometimes. Because if it wasn't for the death of Christ, then if it wasn't for the death of Christ, folks, we wouldn't have the gift of salvation. I'll tell you this, we read in the book of Genesis how God created the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he looked at his creation, and while he was resting, and he said, "This is very good." I believe at one point in time that the world that we live in today, I believe at one point in time there was no sin. It was perfect. I believe if God said it was very good, I believe in his eyes it was very good, and he didn't see nothing wrong with it. But then there came a commandment that he gave to Adam there in the garden. And he said, "You can eat of all these trees, but there's one that you cannot eat, and that being the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat, you will surely die." Now that word death means a separation. Now we read how the serpent came to Eve in the garden one day. And we see how he tempted her. He said that you can partake of this tree. She said, "No, the day we eat of it, we shall die." And he said, "No, the day you eat of this tree, you shall not surely die. But the day you eat thereof, you shall be like gods, knowing both good and evil." Tempted her, made it look good in her eyes. And so therefore, what'd she do? She took a bite of the fruit, and Adam came along and done the exact same thing. The Bible said that their eyes were open, and I believe at that very moment, sin entered in the world. I believe at that very moment, there was a separation that happened between man and God. So if you look into the Old Testament, we read about how there was sin offerings that had to be made in the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, you study out the tabernacle, you'll find that there's one specific place called the veil, and it separated the holiest of holies, where God dwelt. And the only people that could enter in was the high priest. But we read how Jesus, when he died and he gave up the ghost, it said that that veil was torn in twain. And you know what that means is that man has access to God. Man is finally able to have access and that gift from God. We read how these sin offerings, they had to happen on a yearly basis. Because the blood of bulls and goats just wasn't good enough to cover our sin. But the blood of the spotless lamb of Jesus Christ was and still is today. And I tell you, I'm so glad today to know that the Lord is still in the saving business. You know, we read in the 12th chapter of Exodus, and I believe that this was a picture of Christ and how God had told Moses to tell the Israelites to take unto them an offering. And let us flip over there for a minute. But we look in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we read in the starting with the third verse how the Lord was telling Moses to get him an offering. He said in the third verse, let's pay real close attention to this. He said, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according his eating shall make your count for the lamb." And he said, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. I'm glad today for those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we can say that Jesus is my lamb. You know, I believe that salvation is a personal one-on-one experience with God Himself. I believe that there's one mediator between man and God, and as what Paul said, that is the man, Jesus Christ. But you see, there's people out there today, they say, well, if you just come, shake my hand, it'll be okay. If you get dipped in this water, it'll be okay. See, mankind has put it in their mind that they've tried to make themselves a mediator between man and God. And that's one too many mediators. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm so glad that, you know, years and years ago, we read in the book of Acts in the second chapter how Peter was preaching to the council, how to the people there, how he was talking about that there was a man who was determined by God, predetermined by God, to die for our sins. You know, I was telling, I think Brother Scott this morning, there's a lot of teachings out there in the world that's contradictory to the Word of God. And one of them that's really creeping into our churches today is a doctrine of Calvinism. And I heavily disagree with Calvinism. I'll tell you this, when you bring in Calvinism, you bring in the subject or the topic of limited atonement. I don't believe that Jesus came on this earth and died for just a few sets of people. I believe that He died for every single man, woman, boy, or girl. He died for everybody. Jesus, in John 3:16, for God so loved what? The world. Not just this people over here. Not the blacks, not the whites. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that still holds true to today in 2020. Yo, we see how these doctrines have come in and corrupted. Folks, I tell you, the only way that you can be saved is through and by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way or no other plan of salvation except through and by that spotless Lamb of God who came and died for our sins. You know, who came and He tore that veil, tore that separation between man and God and made a way for us. No other plan of salvation except Jesus Christ alone. Now we read here, or we read here in the book of Luke in that 23rd chapter about how Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now if you go to the book of Mark, it said that there was two thieves, one on His right side, the other one on His left. And we read how one of the malefactors, the thieves, which was hanged there, railed on Him, mocked Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other one, I believe he recognized who Jesus was. And he said, but the other one answered, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You see, we read in the third chapter of John that Jesus said that for the Son of Man isn't here to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might believe, might be saved. But He also said, he that believeth not is condemned already. I tell you what, if you're lost and separated from God, you are headed towards the devil's hell this morning. But He said, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. You know, when sin came into the world anybody who would be born into this world, guess what? We are born into sin. In the book of Psalms, in the 51st chapter, I believe the psalmist, I believe it was David, he said, for in sin my mother conceived me. We are born in sin. And I believe that when we die, we're still sin. We're still sinners. But the only way, but I tell you what, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I tell you, there's the two places that I believe that when we die, one of us will go to one of them. That's heaven or a devil's hell. And I tell you what, hell was not made for us as humankind. Hell was originally made for the devil and his angels, who tempted God and tried to dethrone him. But you see, man puts himself there. Man puts himself there by running back from the saving hand of God. But you see, he said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. You know, since this world has had sin in it and has been in sin, there's been a whole lot of sinful things to go on. Corrupt abomination to come on in the world from down through the years. And we read at one point how we see how God, he questioned to himself. That mankind broke his heart and he questioned to himself and why he even made man. But you see, he came and he destroyed the earth by water. And then he made Noah a promise. And that's what that rainbow represents, folks. It don't represent this homosexuality that's out there in the road, that's out there in the world. It represents a promise that God had made to his people. And I tell you what, that promise is that the next time he won't destroy this world by water, but he'll destroy it with fire and brimstone. And I tell you what, I believe that that day is coming. I believe it's coming sooner than what some of us even think. But for the child of God, we've got to work like it's coming today. Amen. We see here, I believe that one of these thieves, he knew exactly who Jesus was. But I tell you, as a sinner, you have to, you know, if you wish to be clean, you got to realize first that you're filthy. You know, we read in the book of Galatians, if we flip there for just a few moments of time, we read in the book of Galatians there in the second chapter in the 17th verse, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. You have to realize exactly who you are and how filthy you really are before an almighty God. It's a personal one-on-one experience with God. And this thief, he looked and he said, and unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, guess what? The man on the cross said that we can go and be in paradise one day after a while. But I'll tell you what, we still need to be preaching to this world about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because he doesn't just want just us to be in paradise. I believe that it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to the knowing of the saving grace of God. I believe that is the will of God. I believe that's what the book of Ezekiel said, that God takes no pleasure to the man that dies in their sin. That's why he sent his only begotten Son in the world. So that way we might have life everlasting. You know, we read and see throughout the Bible, and I've said this before, but we see and we read that the Bible only points to one man. and that being Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And folks, that's who we ought to be pointing lost souls to, is Him and nobody else. You know, I tell you, we read in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter that Paul wrote to the church there. He said, if only in this life we have hope, then we of all men are most miserable. If only this life there is hope, we are miserable.
Amen.
Folks, I tell you, that day that the Lord saved my soul, as that seven-year-old boy on the mourner's bench at Pleasant Grove Church, I tell you, I'm not counting on that to only get me through this life, but to carry me on to the other side. I don't have hope in this life. My hope is in what God has done. And that's where our hope needs to be in. We read, you know, it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. Do you know that? Bible says in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, for He was bruised for our iniquities. It was our transgressions. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. It was us, and it was us that we are the reason that He died on that cruel cross the way He did. But praise God for it. Because for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Praise God for the gift of salvation. Because I believe that it is freely and freely bestowed upon sinners that call upon the name of the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit towards God. Bible says in the 34th chapter of Psalms, for there's two sacrifices, that being of a broken heart and a contrite or crushed spirit. And folks, I tell you what, we need to pray for these lost souls that come in the door of the church, maybe listen on Facebook Live, that God would just convict their hearts in a shape where it would just be so hard for them to do anything else. And the only thing on their hearts and mind is getting it right with God Himself. Because, you know, that sacrifice that Jesus made, that was the reason. Jesus is the reason why we have these seasons. He's the reason why we're able to have the trust and the confidence that for those of us who have been saved, that we have a better place to go far beyond this one. And you know who's in the center of heaven Himself? Jesus Christ is. Who's the light of heaven? Jesus Christ is. It's all about Jesus. And if one wishes to be saved, they need to know and recognize who Jesus Christ really is. We read in the 16th chapter of Matthew how Jesus went unto His disciples and He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say thou art Elias, Jeremiah, or John the Baptist. And you can go out in this world and ask people that same question, and you're going to get a whole lot of different answers.
Amen.
But I tell you, Jesus meant it in a personal way. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. I believe only God can show the sinner where they stand with Him. He lets them know when they're lost, and He lets them know when they've been saved by His grace. And there is no need for us to try to play Savior. There is no need for us to try to play Mediator. Because the only one that can do it is Jesus Christ alone. And I tell you, we read in the book of Isaiah how
Ellie said that the Lord's hand is not shortened where he cannot save, and his ear is where he cannot hear. I believe God himself is still in the saving business today.
I believe that the same blood that washed my sins away has not lost a drop of its power. We read the book of Isaiah in that first chapter. We read how it says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." I tell you, it's hard for my mind to comprehend on how God can take a filthy heart covered in black and sin and make it as clean as it can, but I'm glad that he still does that. Amen. I'm glad for it. And I have nothing to boast about, for I am just a filthy sinner. And that's all we really are, folks. But you know, all my hope and all my boasting goes to God and God alone. That's why we sing these wonderful songs and hymns, just to praise the Lord. We read, there's a song, and I've said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I believe that the salvation of God, it is a no-show salvation. You go out in the world, and there's people that I talk to at work, they'll say, "Well, I think I'm saved," or "I might be saved," or "Preacher, I just don't know." But I'll tell you this, I 100% know that I know that I am saved by the grace of God. And he lets people know that.
Amen.
There's a Days of the Week song that we sing, and I've told this church before, it just rubs me the wrong way for some reason when people say, "It must have been the hand of the Lord." There is no doubt in my mind that God reached down and saved my soul that day on that altar, seeking after him. Because only him can take a troubled some heart and give it nothing but peace.
Amen.
We read in the book of Romans in the 5th chapter, and the first verse, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's exactly what salvation is peace with God Almighty.
Amen.
You know, there's people I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know, my dad, he went and, whenever he gave up Pleasant Grove Church, he went to Landmark Church in Livingston, Tennessee. And that was about 3 years after I got saved. And there was a sister there who stood up and she said, "Well, I thank God for my salvation." She started testifying. And she said that she heard angels sing, or she saw a bright light. And as a 10-year-old boy, after being saved, really, Satan really used that to confuse me with where I stood. Folks, I tell you what, if that's how God shows you, that is okay. But salvation is not seeing lights or hearing angels sing. It is peace with God Almighty. And we read in the book of Romans, I believe in that same chapter, in the 5th chapter, how it tells us, "By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous." By the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, Philippians tells us that he was obedient unto death. And praise God for that. We read in the book of Matthew how Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying, and the Roman soldiers came there to capture him. And Peter stood up, took one of their swords, cut his ear. And Jesus stopped him. He said, "Do you not know that I can call 12, more than 12 legions of angels to come and rescue me?" More than 12 legions. Do the math on that. If I'm not wrong, I think a legion is about 6,000 people. I could be wrong. If you total that up by 12,
There we got about 78,000. And Jesus said, I could call more than this to come and rescue me. But praise God that that did not happen. And he was obedient unto the death of the cross. You see, the cross has a very important meaning behind it. The cross, you know, Brother Scott gave everybody a cross, made everybody a cross. And that cross has a very important and special meaning behind it. You know, to this world, the cross is just a symbol of Christianity. It's just a symbol of churches. And it's just more than that. That cross represents the blood that was shed from our Savior that we might have life eternal. That cross represents our loving Savior who was obedient to the death of the cross, that we might have life eternal. And Jesus looked at that malefactor and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm so glad that that man on the cross told me that I can go one day after a while. When he reached down and saved my soul, I tell you, that gave me a ticket to heaven. And I'm so glad over that. You know, that Saturday night when the Lord convicted my heart, it was hard for me to sleep because all I could think about was, man, if I woke up, if I died, I'd be in a devil's hell. And you know, the next night, Sunday, I got saved, and that night I was able to sleep like a baby because I had all the confidence in the world that what God had done for me, I would be going to a far better place. And you know what? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews how Abraham and the children of Israel, how they was wandering from country to country, from town to town, and they said that they just called themselves and considered themselves pilgrims. Folks, that's all. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that's all me and you are. We're just pilgrims in this land. This ain't our home. This ain't our final destination. You know, the house that we have down there in Tullahoma, Tennessee, it's nothing much. I thank God for it. It's nothing much, but it's a tent that was just pitched up for us, you know, have a little stay place. But I tell you what, one of these days, we're just going to be passing through and going home. There's a song in the hymn books that says, Lord, I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. And I cannot feel at home. And there's a reason behind that. Because of that special place where the Lord saved my soul. The man there on the cross said that we can go. He still extends mercy to the lowest of lowest sinners today. You know, I believe that Jesus didn't die for the people who's just in this church house today. He died for the people that's living underneath the bridge, living in those trailer parks, maybe doing all this worldliness and all this drugs that's happening. I believe Jesus died for them too. And folks, that is the importance of us preaching the gospel. That is the importance of it. I want to get to one more thing too. And then I'll try my best to shut up. I know I've been everywhere, but just bear with us. You know, after Adam partook of that tree, it said that he died. He separated from God. Well, years and years and years after that, I believe he lived to be several hundred years old. The Bible says, and he died. And you read in about the chronologies, the lineages that had went on, all the fathers and parents that had happened, it would end up saying, and he died, and he died, and he died. Folks, death is coming after each and every one of us. We don't know our appointed day. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this judgment, I don't believe in this teaching called purgatory where you just wait around in La La Land and think about, while you're in time out, think about whether or not you've been good enough to go to heaven or bad enough and go to hell. If you've been saved by the grace of God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I believe God will look at that and see that, and you'll enter into the splendor of heaven. But the Bible says, for those names who aren't written in the book of life, they are casted off into a lake of fire. Amen. And folks, that is some scary stuff. And it's something that we need to be worried about for these that are lost. But you know, for those that are lost, guess what? That man on the cross said, we can go. He said, we can go. If you're not saved by the grace of God today, you're lost. Let me tell you, this altar is always open. And I've become affiliated with this church enough to know that they'll get around and pray with you. But I tell you what, this altar has no saving power to it. I love what she represents. It's a good starting place, but it has no saving power to it. I believe when you get saved at the altar that you make within your heart. When you get it one-on-one with just you and God. You know what Jesus said in the book of Matthew when he was teaching on prayer? He said, when thou hast entered into thy closet, shut the door. Folks, I tell you, not just lost, but those of us who have been saved, when we pray to God and try to get in touch with Him, we need to shut the door and get it to where it's just one-on-one between Him and us. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I know I've been scattered everywhere, but I hope and pray that the Lord will just use this message. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, let us stand and sing and lift our voices to the Lord.
Turn to page 155.